It's a hat. It's a hat. It's me.
Oh, my God.
It's me.
It is magical stuff. If you'd like to see it, we have tweeted out a link to that video. Just hop on to our Twitter feed. You can find us on Twitter at Feature Story. And that is the Monday edition of FSN Reports. Tomorrow, in uncertain economic times, the canny investors putting their money in to Scotch whiskey. That's tomorrow. But for now, I'm Simon Marks in Washington, alongside producer Kevin McAleese and Rebecca Foster at the Bulletin Desk. For everyone with Feature Story News everywhere, have a great evening. Goodbye.
WMPG is on the air thanks to listener donations and generous support from the University of Southern Maine. USM educates Maine's future artists, business people, engineers, healthcare professionals, lawyers, managers, public servants, scientists, and teachers. More information is available at usm.maine.edu.
The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed on Brand Youth Radio are those of the speakers and guests, not necessarily those of WMPG or the University of Southern Maine or its officers and trustees.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can understand.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I'm saying. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
So let me be clear and make no mistake.
You are listening to
Lund.
Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
Dress codes can
starts the first day of sixth grade.
School dress codes can be controversial and why and how they're enforced.
The path from a student dress code to slut-shaming and victim-blaming and rape culture is a pretty clear one.
Today on our show, we'll be talking about the pros and cons of dress codes and what they really accomplish.
I'm Gabby Farrell.
And I'm Izzy Terrasiano.
And you're listening to Blunt Youth Radio. And we'd like to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, so you can call us with your opinions, questions, comments, anecdotes. Our number is 780-4909. That's 780-4909.
Today on our show, we have Kim Bennett, who's the vice principal of South Portland High School. And later, we'll be talking to some students and Blunt Youth Radio members. Welcome, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
And here, just to start us off, I have the dress code for South Portland High School, which I assume is pretty similar to other high schools. I'm just going to read it to you guys. Students are expected to dress appropriately for engaging in the teaching and learning process. Clothing that is torn and not mended, unclean, or excessively ill-fitting is not permitted. Items of clothing that promote drugs or alcohol or any gang-related signs or are suggestive, that are offensive, or that are sexually suggestive are not permitted. And then in parentheses, the sexually suggestive items of clothing are short skirts, dresses and shorts, midriff shirts, spaghetti straps, or bare shoulders. Clothing that is a distraction to the educational environment is not permitted. Shoes or sneakers must be worn at all times in the building, and students who violate the dress code will be expected to change into school-appropriate attire or to go home.
All right, so earlier Gabby talked about drawing a line between school dress codes and slut-shaming. What would you have to say to that?
I think that slut-shaming is definitely something that is a big issue in our schools and all public education. I think that the dress code is something that is a part of how people represent themselves, and I think that teachers and staff are asked to enforce that at our schools in order to you know, make it so that students are not distracted when they're in classes. I think that the slut-shaming is something, I think that the way people dress is part of that, and I definitely don't agree that the way people dress is representative of whether or not that's their activity, but I think that it's part of what people see.
There are a lot of things I want to play off on that. One of them is you said it's distracting, and I think I've read a lot of articles, and a lot of it is it's distract when the way that girls dress, you know, provocatively is could be distracting to boys. And do you think that's what people mean when they say it's distracting?
That's not how I define it. And when I talk about dress code, it's not just for females, it's for males as well. And this year when I've dealt with dress code issues, it's been probably more female students than male students. But I definitely think that male attire can be distracting as well. I don't necessarily think that distraction means in a provocative way. I think that if people are wearing clothing that just takes their focus away from what they need to be doing, it's a distraction.
Just keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah. Nope, that was it.
So what does happen when students violate the dress code? What is the protocol there?
Typically what happens is if students are in violation of the dress code, most of the teachers and staff at our building typically address it with the student directly. And they approach them and let them know that they need to either change their clothes or pull their skirt down a little bit lower to where it's supposed to be, those kind of things. If students do not respect what the teacher asks them to do, often teachers will then bring it to me. And I typically give a student, the first time is kind of a warning, and I talk to them and ask them to change their clothing. If they do so, that's fine. The issue's over. If they refuse to do that, then it becomes an issue where, then we're looking at noncompliance, and it becomes a bigger issue if students really refuse to, put on something that's more appropriate.
So who sets the dress codes at your school?
It's partly the school board, the policies of trying to make sure that students are, in a safe environment, and part of that is the distraction part of it. And then the administrators of the school, have established the rules in the handbook and have gone that way. So it's definitely the school administration and also the district.
Are they often being revised?
I think they're revised as they need to be. A good example of that is our electronics use policy, because the technology is changing so quickly and it's something that we have to adapt to. And so definitely as, issues come up and things happen, they definitely are changed as they need to be.
And how do you think things would change if there was no dress code?
If there was no dress code, that's a very good question. I think that if there was no dress code, it would definitely be... I think South Portland would look a lot different. I think that there would be a lot more people wearing clothing. I actually think there'd probably be more of T-shirts with inappropriate, slogans or logos on them than there would be with a provocative clothing. So I think that would open things up to hate speech and to other areas. So I think that it opens, a really big can of worms to be able to say that there would be no dress code.
Would you say you definitely deal more with like the short skirts than the offensive slogans or gang related signs?
I have to say I haven't seen really gang related stuff at South Portland, but it's only right. My second year being there. I would say that it's probably equal to maybe a little bit more of the shorter skirts or the the guys that are wearing the tank tops with the really low cut shirts as well, more so than the slogans on the T-shirts or the clothing. But there definitely are a high number of both.
And do you think that students amongst themselves enforce their own dress codes through like peer pressure and things like that?
I think they do, and I think it goes both ways. I think there's as much of there as, some kids pressure each other to dress appropriately. I think there's also that peer pressure to, even though your skirt could be a little bit longer, pull it up a little bit so that it looks shorter.
And just really quickly, we want to remind everyone again, this is a call-in show, so our number is 780-4909. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call in. That's 780-4909. I have friends who have been, the other day we were kind of talking about the dress code in one of my classes, because someone was wearing a maxi skirt and kind of a crop top, which like leaves like maybe if you put your arms up an inch of like midriff. And the teacher said, you have to be careful of wearing clothing like that, because when girls wear clothes like that, boys think that they are tramps. And what would you say to that?
Well, that language, a teacher using that with students is not something I would ever condone, and I would hope that the students would come and would talk to the administration about that, because there's a way to have a conversation with a student about what they're wearing, and definitely doing it in a public manner is not the way that it needs to be done. If students are wearing something, I don't think that it sends a message about, being a tramp, which indicates sexuality and sexual activity. I think that if somebody's wearing something that's inappropriate, it needs to be handled one-on-one and not in a public forum.
And we do have a caller. We have Carrie from Portland. Carrie?
Hello.
Hello, hi. Carrie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Good show. And I have a comment, and it's partially a comment, partially a question. But one of the things I was shopping for my niece, who's, a young little baby or toddler, and I noticed that a lot of the, I'm going to sound old here, but a lot of the clothes were really, they were like short skirts and little tank tops with, spaghetti straps, which is something you mentioned in the dress code. And I was just wondering if the school, this department's take into account sort of the way things have seemed to have changed over the last, they're always changing, but, I just feel that it gets hard even as like an adult woman to buy clothes that aren't like sexualized sometimes. So I was just wondering mm-hmm. if the guest could address that.
just like what stores are selling and what people can buy. Yeah,
I agree. I think there's a lot of, you know, when it comes to fashion, the influences are definitely, you know, the higher fashion and the models and those kind of things. And I think that, you know, anywhere you shop, it is really hard to find, you know, skirts that are longer, especially shorts. That's one of the things we run into, is they don't make shorts that are really an appropriate length in school when girls are bending over, going upstairs, those kind of things. So I definitely think that it's, you know, we do have to take it into consideration, but there's also, you know, when people wear spaghetti straps, they could have a sweater over it or, you know, something to make it a little bit more appropriate for school. I do think it's difficult, but I think that there are ways to make sure that what you're wearing is appropriate and represents you well.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. Oh, I guess she's gone now. All right. So do you think that when you take a student out of class for being out of uniform, it's really worth the time that they're losing for learning to make them change?
I rarely take kids out of their classes to deal with dress code issues. Typically, when I see them, it's if they're in lunch or if they're in the hallway. And it's typically, you know, if the student responds positively, it's a pretty quick interaction, because you can pretty quickly pull your skirt to the level it needs to be, or pretty quickly put your sweatshirt on over your tank top if you're a guy, and the issue is over and done with. So there's not really a lot of missed class time. It's those students who feel that they are being mistreated because of what they're wearing or because I'm asking them to change that takes more time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of the things we wrote down is, do you really, like, certain clothing is definitely distracting people from their learning? Like, have you ever talked to other students and they've said that, like, when so-and-so wears this, I have a hard time concentrating on my rhetorical analysis?
Not quite that specific. we do have students who come in and will just say, you know, did you see what she was wearing today? You know, people are talking about her. It's usually more from a protective standpoint than, you know, I'm distracted myself. But it's, you know, often students come and they'll say, you know, my friends are talking about this person. They're not saying nice things. You know, I'm worried about what, you know, how she's being treated or how he's being treated, or ooh, that's really gross. I saw his armpit hair, you know, like that kind of stuff that people, that kids come to us with.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of less the student's problem, though, than, like, the people who are picking on them or saying things behind their back.
Right, that's kind of, like, where I would draw the comparison to, like, the rape culture and victim blaming, is where, like, the, you know, students are just, like, a male student is distracted by someone's short skirt, you know, and then, so it's the woman's responsibility to make her skirt longer, whereas, like, a woman is sexually assaulted, it's her responsibility to not wear that cocktail dress out on the street.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely some parallels for that. Do you think that the dress code favors a certain demographic?
I think that's a good question. I don't know if necessarily favors would be how I would say it, or
it discriminates against something
like
that.
You know, I think that kids who have access to fashion that's more expensive, which is more of the stuff that we typically see on TV and in the social media and that kind of thing, you know, that you might find at some of the upper end stores are probably going to violate the dress code more so than people who may be shopping at places where the clothing is a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm. And so, just to remind you, you're listening to Blunt Youth Radio. We're talking about the dress code in schools. And if you want to comment or have a question, you can call in at 780-4909. That's 780-4909.
Let's see. So a lot of times dress code is said to... Schools implement dress codes to try to address problems with behavior, or I know specifically we talk about the grinding issue at dances, and then another thing that comes up is like, oh, maybe if girls wear longer dresses, it will not be as much of a problem. Do you think that there's other ways to address problems in school that dress codes are sometimes used to address those problems, but maybe aren't doing the job?
It's interesting to kind of equate the two with the grinding at the dances with the dress code. It's not something that at the administrative team we've really kind of made that comparison. We kind of keep it as two separate issues. Again, I really go back to social media and seeing people online and the way that they're dancing and the culture. And I think that, you know, our students want to emulate what they see in social networks and social media. And I think that's where the students are. Can you repeat the question, the last part about?
I think it's kind of like some people say that like dress codes are trying to get rid of like the inequalities between students and kind of trying to fix some underlying problems, and they're covering it up with like blaming it on the students and what they're wearing when that's really not the issue here. So what would be some other kind of ways you could address the problems with inequalities and in the student population?
That's a hard question for me because I'm not sure I've really thought about dress code as an inequity piece. So I think that I would need to think about that a little bit more.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, we were going to talk about kind of piercings and hair, and a lot of times you hear stories about... we have Zach on the phone. Zach.
Hello, Zach.
Hi.
Hi, Zach.
Is a similar question or comment to the previous caller. I know that in an office environment, the women show a lot more torso than men do. A man either has to have his shirt buttoned all the way to the top, or at the very least, one button, whereas women have, you know, plunging necklines and, of course, shirt. Men can't wear shorts in an office environment, and women can wear, you know, skirts, certainly at the knee, you know, knee length. So there is this sort of, you know, social norm of a double standard. It makes it, I would think, difficult in schools. And then along the same lines, how is the student dress code different from the faculty teacher dress code?
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of reverse because they're more focused on men than girls in high school. In the workplace.
A lot of times you think of the double standard as, like, the women being, you know, policed a lot more than the men, but it sounds like that's an interesting, different point of view than usual. That's a good question. How is the student dress code different from the faculty dress code?
I see them pretty similarly, and I have had conversations with staff about what they're wearing because I think it violates the dress code.
That's interesting.
All right. Oh, if you want to know more about Blunt Youth Radio, you can go to our blog at bluntradio.org. It's super fun.
Yeah, it's a cool place. You can listen to shows if you missed them, and there are pictures.
Super great. All right, so is it Zach? Zach's gone. All right, thanks, Zach. So we're talking about piercings in hair and how those are sometimes, I don't know if they're not allowed at South Portland, but in some schools you're not allowed to have, like, nose piercings or lip piercings or like more than one ear piercing, and you're not allowed to like color your hair an unnatural color. They have that at my school. And I was just wondering if you think that's really a dress code, since it's not really about what they're wearing. It's more about how like their body and if you're...
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, and Izzy was saying that it's just kind of
phrased
like a part
it a lot better
of your body, and she said maybe we can even equate it to like you need to lose weight before you can come back to school.
I guess it's trying to like modify others' bodies less than their clothes, because it's I think it's a different category. It's like telling someone they should be skinnier or something.
Right, and I think it goes back to I do think it's a separate issue, and I think it goes back to the caller Zach who talked about, you know, office attire versus you know, school attire and that kind of thing. And there are some businesses where tattoos, you know, you can have them, but you need to cover them up and those kind of things. And that's not something that we dictate, you know, at South Portland. And I think that it's, you know, the dress code kind of covers up, you know, if people have a belly ring or those kind of things, you know, the dress code is, you know, is there so that that's not part of the distraction. But we don't have rules against piercings at South Portland.
And
do you think that other schools that have them should have them? Do you think it's a valid rule to make?
I think it depends on the culture of the area. I think that different schools need to look at their student population and their student body and see, you know, what issues they have within their school and address them. I don't think that that can be a blanket statement.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then we were also talking before about values that are taught in schools, like honesty and being fair, and whether modesty should be something that schools are teaching people. What do you think?
I don't know if I would necessarily say modesty as much as I would talk about self-respect. South Portland High School has the honor code, which is about, you know, building trust and being trusted and having respect for other people and respect for yourself. And I think that that's where, you know, the dress code is part of our honor code, and that we want to represent yourself well. modesty, I think, is one of those things that is defined differently depending on your culture, your religion, your background. And I think that that's something that would be pretty hard to dictate and to teach.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you bring up respect. And this is, we had a lot of conversations leading up to the show, and it kind of, a lot of times it led to that is, you know, does what you wear really represent how much self-respect you have? Do you think that there's a correlation between, you know, how much skin you're showing and how much you respect yourself?
I think there can be for some people and not for others, which is not probably the direct answer that you're okay. hoping for. But I think for some, you know, when I look at the students who I work with, I look at them as individuals and what's going on in their lives. And I think that there are some students who, you know, depending on what's going on with their life, you know, going back to the piercings, it's part of that self-expression and what they're doing and the way they wear your hair. And, you know, everybody has a style that they do and it's part of who they are. I think that there are different people who dress certain ways in order to express themselves. You know, I think it's interesting, the self-respect part of it. I think that definitely how you dress reflects how you feel about yourself. But I also feel that, again, that social media and that peer pressure, you know, makes people feel differently and dress differently. You know, and I know that there are girls that go shopping that may or may not want to wear certain things, but their friends say, oh, come on, you totally could do that. You could pull that off. And so I think there's some peer pressure with that.
Right.
Yeah. And then we were also talking about how people interpret differently why, or well, what girls wear and why they wear it / why they wear makeup. And like some people think it's because they want to get the attention of boys or their friends are doing it. And it could just be because they like it and they think that that's like their personality, and how a lot of times it's misinterpreted what girls wear. What do you think about that?
I think that that's a place where schools in general need to do better at, you know, building a culture where people are accepted for who they are and what they look like. And I think that's something that, you know, every school strives to do. And I think that even if the school feels like they're in a good place, there's always more work that can be done. And I think that, you know, being able to accept each other for various reasons is very important.
All right. I just like to remind people this is a call-in show. If you have a comment or question or anything fun, cool to say, the number is 780-4909. And if you want to check out our blog, the website is bluntradio.org.
Yeah, and kind of going along with that, we were, you know, I'm trying to peddle my, well, let's not police what anyone's wearing, just let them do whatever they want. Is it your responsibility to really police anyone else's body? And then it's kind of there's a difference between how society starts sexualizing women at such a young age so that by the time, you know, they're teenagers, all they can think of to wear is, like, quote-unquote provocative clothing. And then there's, you know, so how they got to that point, and then should we police it? But, like, you know, just let them do whatever they want. And then it's, why do they want to do that? Because they were taught, you know, because that they're supposed to look good all the time and that their worth is based on, you know, how pretty they are. And it's just interesting to think about because it's just kind of two conflicting ideas. Mm-hmm. But both are, like, kind of infringing on the rights of women in different ways.
And how do you think the most, I guess, effective way to enforce the dress code would be? I think you talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, for me, whenever I'm trying to enforce anything with the students, I really feel like it comes down to that relationship and that conversation that you have with kids. And, you know, my big philosophy is that if you just start yelling at kids, they're not going to listen. I mean, when parents yell at kids, you know, the kids don't listen. I think it's conversation, and it has to do with how you approach things with people. And for me, you know, again, it's pulling somebody aside and having that conversation with them in a way that, you know, shows that you have respect for them because you're not embarrassing them in front of people, but that you still have certain expectations and, you know, are going to enforce the policy.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you think, if you could change anything about your dress code, would you change anything?
You know, when I look at the language, and Gabby read it before, you know, I think that it's specific in some ways, but also open-ended enough that there's room for, you know, the adults in the building, the administration, to be able to decide whether or not a student is wearing the, you know, meeting the dress code or not meeting the dress code. You know, I think that it's important when we are enforcing it to, you know, let students know that it's not just, you know, the APs, the assistant principals, or the principal who get to enforce it. The teachers are trying to give you the heads up. If the teachers speak to you about what you're wearing, that's kind of the first step that you need to take. you know, I think our dress code is pretty appropriate. I know that there are some schools who get very specific with, you know, your length of your shorts that has to be, you know, 5 inches from, you know, the length of the short and those kind of things, and we haven't been that specific.
And so the different people that are enforcing it, I know I was talking to my mom about this. She works at Cape Elizabeth High School, and she was saying that they used to have a dress code that they pretty strictly enforced, but it got to a point where, like, the male teachers were enforcing, you know, the low-cut tops, and the female students were, like, feeling uncomfortable, and they were, you know, talking to administration about how it made them feel uncomfortable, and it got to a point where they just basically don't even enforce the dress code at all anymore because it was creating too much conflict, and I don't know, what would you think about that?
I think there are staff members who are more comfortable than others in addressing dress code issues. You know, as with any issue that goes on in our building, if a staff member is not comfortable, I want them to come to me so that I can help them, you know, help them address it and figure out the way to approach it. Because I think it's ignoring an issue is condoning an issue. And I think that that happens, whether it's bullying, whether it's, you know, harassment, any of that stuff. I think if people look the other way, you know, what they're saying is it's okay. And so I think that if a staff member feels, you know, like somebody's dressed inappropriately, but they, for whatever reason, don't feel like they can address it, they need to go to somebody who will address it.
And do you think bullying is one of the reasons why some schools have dress codes? Do you think the dress codes help or hurt with that kind of bullying and stuff?
I think that definitely the nature of bullying is to, you know, to make somebody feel less than. And I think that some people use dress code as a way to do that. Maybe not dress code, but definitely style and fashion in order to make other people feel a certain way about themselves. And definitely, you know, making comments about what people are wearing, whether it's positive or negative, definitely has an impact on bullying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could talk a little bit, I don't know, about uniforms.
Yeah, uniforms.
Izzy
those are
goes
fun.
To Macaulay.
I do. I wear a uniform.
Do you like the uniform?
I mean, it's comfortable. I don't have anything wrong with it. Plus, I don't have to, like, figure out what to wear in the morning, so that's nice.
Do you think that public schools should be allowed to enforce a uniform situation? Have students wear uniforms?
I think it would go back to, I really think it depends on where you are and the reason and rationale for why you would want to do that. I think that there are, you know, some schools, I was watching something on TV recently where there was a school where they had provided clothing to the students because it was a very poverty-stricken area where,
right,
you know, kids' clothing probably wasn't going to be clean, and so kids came to school and, you know, they had certain clothing and they would go home, you know, the clean one and the laundry was done, you know, and that kind of thing because it was due to the not being able to afford to have different clothes and those kind of things. So I think it depends on circumstances.
Yeah, and how... You were kind of talking before about how you, I think, sort of thought that dress code should be enforced kind of on like a case-by-case basis. There we go. How each, I guess, teacher should, you know, take it upon themselves to like see if it was really a problem or not. So do you think that uniforms and dress code should be enforced more loosely in some places than maybe they are?
Like what? I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Some schools are like, you know, crack down on you and make everyone dress exactly the same, ignoring all like the personal stuff. So you think it should be more of a person by person thing and less strict, making everyone conform?
I mean, I believe that if, you know, if you're going to have a dress code, you should enforce it. If you're going to have, you know, a law about speeding, you should enforce it. You know, I think that why have a rule if it's not something that you believe is somehow beneficial to, you know, the institution where you're working? And so I think that it's something, if you have it, I think it's important for people to be on the same page about it and to be able to enforce it, to send the same message to students.
Mm-hmm. I've also just heard anecdotally that some students, like once they've been called in, like once or twice for a dress code violation, then they then kind of become like you zone in and then they're kind of targeted for the rest of the year, even if, you know, other students have been, you know, violating the dress code, but they haven't been caught yet, so they're not really totally on the radar. Do you think that happens? Do you notice that happening?
From my perspective, I wish I had time to find the same repeat students that were doing things. You know, given the course of the day and everything that happens throughout the day, you know, as it works out, kids that I catch wandering in the hallway, if it's a day where I'm in the hallway a lot, you know, I see the same kids over and over. Do I target them, or are they the people that are constantly the people who are, you know, violating the rules about being in the hallway when they're not supposed to be? So I think it's one of those things where, you know, controlling what happens during the day, you know, when you're an administrator in a school, you're going from one thing to the next. And I think that, you know, if I notice something, I address it. And if it's the same person who happens to be sitting, you know, at the table that I happen to come upon first when I come into the cafeteria, that's what I notice. That's where my focus goes. And I will address it. And
do you think how students dress affects how teachers treat them?
I think that's a really good question. I think that people, you know, to be brutally honest, it probably does. And I don't know, you know, it could be positively or negatively. And I, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, our football team just played last weekend and all the guys on Friday were wearing their football jerseys. You know, do the teachers treat them differently because they're on a sports team or because they're representing their team and because they're, you know, are they held in a different regard? Possibly. You know, so I definitely think that it probably affects teachers on, if not a conscious level, on a subconscious level.
All right.
And we're just about out of time. We're going to roll into our break. Yes. Thank you very much, Ms. Bennett, for coming in and talking
Thanks
to us.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to be talking to some students and Blunt Youth Radio members.
All right.
Awesome.
Weather. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 20s, light and variable winds. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s, light and variable winds, becoming south around 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy, lows in the lower 30s, south winds around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. You're listening to WMPG and W281AC Gorham, Portland.
In the mirror dancing so sleazy, I get a call like, where are you, Yeezy? And try to hit you with the old wacky, till I got flashed by the paparazzi. Damn, these niggas got me. I hate these niggas more than
I recall. I know you love to show off, but I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
Been a while, sweetheart, we hardly talk, I was doing my thing. I know what was fair, baby, hey, babe, lately, you've been all on my brain. And if somebody would've told me a month ago, front and oh, yo, I wouldn't wanna know. If somebody would've told me a year ago, it'd go get this difficult. Kinda like Katrina with no FEMA, like Martin with no Gina. Like a flight with no visa, first class with the seat back, I still see ya. In my past, you on the other side of the glass, of my memories museum. I'm just saying, hey Mona Lisa, come home, you know you can't roam
As
without
I
Caesar.
Recall, I know you love to show off, but I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
No.
and welcome back to Blunt Youth Radio. We're talking about dress codes today, and if you want to call in, it's 780-4909. With us right now, we have Ava Zwolinski, who is a Blunt member and a senior at Portland High School. We also have Lucy Tabb, who's a freshman at Casco Bay High School, and Olivia Bradstreet, who is also a Blunt member and a 16-year-old unschooler. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
So, our first question to you three would be, what do you think the dress code accomplishes? Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I think that the dress code targets girls, because you only hear it enforced upon girls. You don't hear boys getting in trouble for wearing shorts. I think it sexualizes young girls' bodies, and I think that's mostly done by adults, and I think that's really creepy. So I think the dress code just plays into rape culture and slut shaming.
Do you think there are any positives to it at all?
I could see that sometimes there's a positive in having uniforms, depending on what school you're going to, and the area it's in, or a dress code. Like, we try to help make sure students are dressed appropriately for, like, weather, but I don't think that's fair, depending, like, a public school necessarily do that, because that can target students who don't have as much money.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ava? What do you think?
I think dress codes are really kind of, they correspond to the school that's enforcing them. So if you're going to a public school, I think dress codes are kind of, they're a lot looser, and they're kind of to maintain the, like, just common, like, decency, I want to say, because you don't want people coming to school in, like, shirts that show their stomachs. You don't want guys coming to school with pants that are at their knees. I think other schools, like, private schools will do dress codes for the school image. They have visitors to the school if they're, like, taking photos for advertising. So I think it varies per school.
And you've gone to 3 high schools, right?
Yeah.
Which ones?
I went to boarding school in upstate New York. I went to Cheverus, and now I'm at Portland High.
All right. And which dress code or uniform did you like the most? And why?
I think when I went to boarding school, the dress code wasn't very strict. It basically, you couldn't wear ripped jeans and you couldn't wear leggings or sweatpants. And I don't usually wear sweatpants to school. I don't think I ever have. But I definitely, once I went to Portland, I wore leggings a lot more. I think that Chevers I disliked the most, because that was actually like a uniform. And it was like uncomfortable and weird. So I think that I haven't really like... I don't really have a favorite, but I think it's always better to be able to choose what you wear.
What would you change about Chevers's dress code uniform?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that for a lot of kids, it's a lot easier, because I know for me, when I went there, I had 2 pairs of khakis and 2 shirts, and I would just alternate and wash. And I think that in a lot of ways, that promotes kind of like a unity. I mean, you don't see anyone coming to school in really expensive clothing, and there's that kind of like a, there's no economic divide, kind of, and sometimes clothing can do something like to express that, but I think that when it's uniform, there's less distractions in terms of what people are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lucy, you go to Casco Bay. Is the dress code strictly enforced at Casco? Do you even have a dress code at Casco Bay?
I think that we have a dress code, but it's never enforced. So it's there if anyone were to wear anything like that was considered extremely offensive, but it's not. It's very loose.
Have you ever seen anyone wear anything like outrageous that you were like, man, our dress code should really be enforcing this?
No.
Okay.
Everyone's pretty like in their own comfort zone and what they feel comfortable wearing.
Self-policing. What about you, Ava? Do you think your dress code's enforced in Portland?
I think Portland, I haven't ever myself had issues with the dress code. I haven't actually seen or heard anyone having issues with it. I know that we had Spirit Week last week, and I saw a lot of people like wearing really revealing clothing, especially on like Decade Day. There are girls in like leotards and tights, but no one said anything because it was Spirit Week. So it kind of gave them the go-ahead to dress. What I would say is a little bit provocative, but...
But I mean, those are sportswear clothing. I mean, it's just to move your body.
Yeah, it, I mean, they look like bathing suits, body. But it wasn't a pool, so it felt like it was a little out of place.
It wasn't a pool.
Do you guys think there's any truth to when people say that when girls wear, like, revealing shirts or something, the boys are so distracted that they can't, like, learn?
Absolutely not. I think that's a false thing. I think that's something that people make up so that they can treat women badly and so that... boys or men who publicly sexualize women don't get in trouble. It's all on the woman. The other thing I'd like to add about dress codes is that I think they can be problematic. I know some people have gotten in trouble because they're dressing as, you know, people who've been gendered as boys, dressing as girls or girls who've been people who've been gendered as girls dressing as boys. You know, they've gotten in trouble. So I don't think it's fair to people in the queer spectrum or just people who just want to express themselves in any way that's not considered normal.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good point because you hear those stories. I've never seen it happen at South Portland High School, but I like, is that written into dress codes, do you think? That like girls quotes have to wear girl clothes and like boys can't wear skirts?
I've never seen it specifically, but I also like, don't go to like...
Sometimes
a school with boys, so
they don't, like, you know, people again who have been gendered as girls like try to go to prom in a tuxedo and they're like, nope, not letting you in.
I mean, at our school, if you want to wear on like dress down or dress up days, if you want to wear like quote unquote boy clothes and we're fine with it, they don't care.
Right? Because another thing is, yeah, the girls are like allowed to be more masculine, quote, because you know everyone. Boys are better, but if anyone acts traditionally feminine, that's considered bad.
And, you know, I agree with what we were talking about a little earlier when Olivia said, I don't think the boys being distracted is a legitimate reason. I know Izzy and I have both gone to all-girls schools with some sort of dress code, and I definitely couldn't wear low shirts there, even though there weren't any boys to see
it. Yeah, on dress-down days, there's kind of a rule that you can't wear, like, skirts that are too short or, like, tops that are too revealing, although people do it anyway, and then the teachers get mad, and they're like, oh, she looks like such a slut, which is, like, totally inappropriate.
Has a teacher ever said that? Because my teacher called girls who wear bathing shirts a tramp, but did any teacher ever actually say the word slut?
I don't
slut?
Know if they use slut, but they use, like, a teacher word for it, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, like, what is the point of that? There's only other girls there. There's nothing, there's no, like, boys to distract them.
Well, I mean,
them, or,
there's
like,
that whole thing, you know, where there's, you know, gay, bisexual, queer kids.
Yeah, but, like, even so, that, like, we all have the same body parts. We're all still girls.
Well, I mean, the thing is that there's people, you know, who are transgender or non-binary, so there's going to be people in your class that are boys or don't identify as any specific gender.
Yeah, do you know what Macaulay's policy is on transgender students? Is it a no-go?
I don't think we've ever had a transgendered student. I'm pretty sure if we did and their gender, like the gender that they preferred was a girl, they'd probably be allowed to go. Macaulay's pretty liberal on, like, just letting people in as long as they're not boys, you know.
As long as they don't identify as a boy.
Yeah, like that. So anyway, we are going to play a feature now by Blunt member Milena.
Jermon.
Here we go.
It all starts the first day of sixth grade. In elementary school, there was no need for dress codes, but as soon as you walk into middle school, there are rules. Your first day, everyone files into the auditorium like lost sheep, herded by well-dressed teachers functioning on their third cup of coffee. At some point during the long presentation, the teacher speaking starts listing rules. No gum chewing, no skipping class. A bright-colored stack of papers gets handed to you by boldly titled Dress Code, a set of rules apparently worthy of its own multi-paged packet. No low-cut or revealing tops. No shorts or skirts shorter than 3 inches above the knee. All tank top straps must be at least 2 inches wide. Some are obvious, some are ridiculous, and none of them are given with any explanation why not. The first few months in school, you see teachers at the door armed with rulers, ready to measure anyone's article of clothing that seems questionable at any moment, and ready to call out anyone whose shirt seems too tight or whose bra strap is accidentally showing in front of everybody in the hallway. Schedules are tight, and few students keep long-sleeved shirts to change into if anybody's next class is with a tough teacher. Weeks and months go by. Even the toughest teachers to sneak by put their rulers away and just sigh with exasperation when someone is wearing pants so low you can see their underwear instead of sending them to the office. By mid-eighth grade, the dress code is more of a legend than a rule. The elephant in the room when somebody walks in with an almost see-through shirt or tries to get by in a strapless dress. When asked whether it even is a written dress code, the teachers simply shrug and say to ask the principal, which everyone is afraid to do and no one does anyway. I'm a freshman in high school now, about 8 weeks into the school year, and I can definitely say things haven't seemed to change. People obey the vaguely placed dress code for about a week or so, but after that, students seem to wear what they want, with the teachers a little too distracted to object. Are public school dress codes an issue? Are they necessary? It sure seems like they aren't very enforced. This has been Milena Dramon from Blunt Youth Radio.
Okay, we're back. Now we have...
Ava's still here.
Hey. We also have Isaac High and
Helen Cunningham.
They are both Blunt members. Isaac is a
senior at Casco Bay High School.
Yep.
And Ellen is a Helen is a freshman.
Yep. She's a freshman at Casco Bay.
Yeah.
So you guys
Isaac, you're a boy.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a question for you. Are you distracted by girls' shoulders?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think that bare shoulders are sexually suggestive?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I don't know if I'm really an authority on the topic, though, because, and this is not, like, to sound crude, but, like, I mean, you know, sexuality is really all about personal perspective, and, like, you can be into, like, someone's shoulders, which is not to say that they're, like, sexually arousing, but...
What about legs?
Are you asking me if this is, I don't feel comfortable with these questions. Yeah, I mean, like, bare legs are certainly sexually arousing in some instances.
Do you think they keep you from learning?
No. Okay. If anything, they make me want to come to school more. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't think so. I think, you know, an attentive student is not going to be the sort of person who's going to be, like, checking girls out in class anyway. It doesn't even matter what they're wearing.
Have you ever met anyone like that who literally could not focus on school because he was so, like... obsessed with girls?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody comes across people like this.
Do you think it had to do with whether or not their shirt was low cut?
Nope. I think it has all to do with just the kind of person they are, really. I don't think that...
All right, so do you think that dress codes should be enforced for that reason?
Should they be? Well, okay, here's the thing. Rules exist to be enforced, and there's an age-old argument, which is that if the police does not enforce really small misdemeanors... people will think they're able to get away with larger felonies. In the case of school crimes, if people are walking around with low-cut shirts where specifically in the handbook of the school it tells them they're not allowed to do that and they're not called out on it or whatever, it's not enforced, one could argue that it might lead to more, you know, breaking of the rules.
Here's a question. Do any of you think that if there was no dress code, people would show up in bikinis to
high school? Very doubtful.
Thank you.
Yes. Do you think... I feel like social norms would just... kick in there and I think, prevent you from wearing that.
Ava, did you have something to
yes,
say?
Yes, Ava.
Oh, I mean, it was just, it's not totally relevant to this. It was a little bit earlier. I'm just thinking, I'm thinking in terms of if we switch it around, usually dress code is like boys getting distracted by girls.
Right.
I think girls aren't sitting there like getting distracted by boys because they like come in wearing like, you know, the boys don't
shirts.
Really, yeah, they don't, I don't I don't feel like boys wear sexually arousing clothing, but girls still have crushes on them, vice versa.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know.
It would just happen anyway.
I think that you're attracted to people regardless of what they're wearing, you know.
It seems to be, if it's a factor in it, it's a very, very small one, you know.
Why do you think that adults want so desperately for girls to cover up? Anyone?
A shrug. We have a shrug.
Helen? Ava? Isaac?
Because they are their children. I mean, you know, I think that this topic is kind of like... I said this to Gabby earlier, but I'm going to reiterate, which is that I think that the problems which dress codes attempt to fix, which would be, you know, like girls being too sexy for school or like people being distracted by whatever. Or
Helen doesn't like that.
Oh no, that was just nothing.
No. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not speaking from my actual opinion. I'm just saying, like, if one were to argue for, you know, enforcing a dress code in school, that could be a reason. I don't think that a dress code is going to solve that problem on the larger scale. I think that, like, if you were to say that, like, you know, people are getting increasingly more and more revealing clothes and fashion, whatever, like, in the current day, if that was the argument one were to make, like, just enforcing a dress code at school is not going to change anything. That's a societal thing. That's, like, a trend. And that's the sort of thing that is, you know, you can blame, like, the media and whatever else you want to blame that on. But it's not done away with just by not letting people wear the clothes at school.
I want to go back to why adults are obsessed with covering up children, and because they're their parents. Mm-hmm. That just reminds me of when Miley went, you know, did the VMAs situation, and people would not stop posting pictures of Billy Ray Cyrus, like, looking disappointed at her. And, like, I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think, like, it's... Like,
that's a little bit, like, you're not her parent. Billy Ray is her parent. He can do whatever he wants.
But, like, right. Should parents, like, be able to control? Because I was reading a lot of articles, and it was saying, like, ultimately it's up to the parents to decide whether or not what their child is wearing is appropriate. And do you think that parents should have that much control and, like, ownership of their child that they get to decide exactly what they're wearing and whether or not it's too revealing? And what do you think about that?
You know, I think dress codes are kind of more for maintaining some sort of structure and stability. I feel like, you know, if it really was a huge issue, it would be, like, you know, monitored everywhere, not just in schools. I mean, you don't see people being pulled over, like, for not, okay, you know.
Not in America, you don't. Let's take a...
No, that's true. He has a point. I think that a lot of times it's about modesty and about parents wanting their kids to put a good impression off, and I think parents want their kids to be seen as modest and put together, successful people.
We have a caller, Amy,
who is a Blunt member.
No. What?
Hello?
No.
Okay, just kidding. Never mind.
Hello?
Hi!
Hi, I'm a parent of a Blunt member.
Oh, parent of a Blunt member. That was
nice. I just wanted to point out that so much of this discussion is centered around how distracted male people or male-identified people are when it's never even talked about what a woman's perspective would be or, you know, their sexuality within a classroom. It's so interesting to me that we want to police how women are dressing in a school situation, but never, ever talk about how men are dressing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That actually was mentioned really briefly.
Right, we were talking about that a couple
You might have missed it.
Okay, it's like, hard for, like, to keep moment. Listen and talk. okay, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we did have that caller who was saying that in his workplace, women are allowed to wear whatever they want, but guys have to button their shirts up all the way. I think the dress codes do disproportionately focus on women. I mean, when I read the dress code, it was like spaghetti straps, low-cut tops, skirts that are too short.
It's really entirely focused on girls.
Right. I think they're not even really trying to beat the bush there.
I think it sounds like when you're older and in, like, a workplace environment, it's more, the pressure on women is more to look good rather than, like, cover up.
And also, if you, and it's interesting because if you, like, go out on the streets and you wear, like, you know, a big, like, hoodie or, like, a big, like, parka jacket, you're statistically more likely to be stopped by police and questioned by police in a big city. There's a lot of things that are more than just, like, over sexualization of people.
I think that not only does it disproportionately, you know, talk, I think, geared towards women, but also probably, like, women of, like, different certain body types.
Right, for
it's
sure.
Like, if I'm wearing a low cut top, no one's probably going to say anything, but if someone with really big boobs is going to wear a low cut top, people are going to be like, whoa there.
I mean, I've heard things from people with, like, big boobs that, like, are wearing not even low cut tops, just, like, regular cut tops.
Right.
And, like, people are still like, wow, you really need to cover up. Like,
it's like, since when is it their responsibility to overcompensate?
I've heard a lot of things. I was talking to someone about this, how they got they got like in trouble for wearing leggings to school when there's, you know, it's because of their body type, because you know, they're curvier, and then girls who are very skinny and wear leggings don't get called out. I think it's kind of sometimes dress code enforcements are a little, I'm not saying dress code itself is wrong, but I think the way it's enforced might be a little biased in some forms.
I think it definitely is, like when people are talking about you know, don't wear leggings as pants. It's also, there's that conversation, and then there's certain people shouldn't be wearing leggings as pants.
Yeah. Right. So it definitely discriminates against different body types. We have a news story now from, from Buffalo, New York, I think. It's about a school who has just enforced a new dress code.
An interesting take.
Yes, from a student.
Boost the learning environment. Dress codes are usually associated with Catholic or private schools.
But a local school district decided to follow suit and says it's made a world of difference. News 4's Brittany Smallwood went to see for herself in tonight's special assignment.
Do you notice anything different? Students and faculty do.
This dress code has, I think, transformed our environment in terms of kids feeling really positive about themselves.
Some Sweet Home High School officials say in the past they cringe just looking at students coming in with some of the most provocative outfits.
People were wearing things that were showing too much skin. And what the kids were wearing to school was much more inappropriate and distracting.
So they decided to do something about it. They tightened their original dress code.
Here are some key points within the dress code. Girls can't wear anything that's...
what anyone says, ever.
All right.
Just do whatever they want.
So
which is one illegal.
Now we are back with Rosemary Santoro, who is a freshman at Casco Bay, and... Francie Bliss, who is also a freshman at Casco Bay.
And Isaac is still here.
I'm still here.
Isaac's still here. We're all blunt members.
Isaac, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. I have one more thing to say, and this is just my own little personal... soapbox moment, which is that my belief that dress codes are unfair because I think institutionally schools should not exist to act in, you know, place of a parent in terms of enforcing morality. I think that schools should be there to educate people, to provide people a safe place to go sometimes, you know, to allow people to have friends and hang out with each other in some instances, but I don't think that it should be, you know, a disciplinary institution. I don't think that it should be, like, forcing people to behave in certain ways in adherence with different moral codes or whatever. And I think dress code is one of many things. For example, like, swearing or, like, whatever. All that stuff should not be dealt with at school.
All right. I'm just going to remind people that this is a call-in show, and if you have a comment or question, you can call in at 780-4909. So, we had a caller before who was talking a bit about how, we talked less about how, the way guys dress affect girls. Do you guys ever feel distracted by a male who is scantily dressed?
I think a lot. I think most of the dress codes are really aimed towards girls. So, I mean, they talk about, like, muscle shirts and stuff, but that's pretty much it. I mean,
do you ever feel...
I don't feel distracted.
Like, distracted from learning my muscle shirts?
I do not think so.
Okay. And you guys go to Casco Bay, right?
Yeah.
So you guys don't have much of a dress code either, right?
No.
Have you ever heard of anyone getting in trouble for what they wore?
At Casco Bay?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't been there too long. I don't think so.
No.
Your brother, but...
No, I've never heard of anyone, like, ever... Nothing's ever really happened at Casco. A lot at King Middle School, though, there was a lot of, like... where we just came from, there was, like, a lot of, if you're not wearing exactly what the dress code says, you're going to get sent home and you're going to have to change, so.
Do you think a lot of middle schoolers are dressing, like, non-appropriately?
I think the big thing was short shorts.
Yeah, it was just, like, the shorts had to be the exact length, otherwise you were going to, like, get sent home and you could not come back to school unless you were wearing the appropriate length shorts, which is a little absurd, but.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Do you think that that's a good policy to have? Do you think that the length of people's shorts needs to be policed to the point where you're being sent to your house?
I personally think that that's extremely absurd. Like, there's no need for your dress, like, for your shorts that you're wearing to, like, unless they're actually distracting persons who have like complained, there should be like no like rule
policy
about, yeah, because it's like mid thigh, which is like a very weird length for shorts, and it's also like that's not necessarily distracting, and it's also very hard to find shorts that way, so.
Yeah, and people, you know, they end up wearing them anyway, short shorts, and then they get in trouble for it, so it just makes more trouble for the school.
Yeah.
Do you think there are any pluses to dress codes?
I think it keeps people in check. I think if there wasn't any dress code at all, it would just be, you know, it might get into kind of obscene territory. People would wear really short shorts or maybe really low-cut shirts.
Yeah, I also think that with the dress code, it's sort of like there's a whole thing on like middle schoolers like learning that they can like rebel at that age and stuff. So I think it's like a lot like with when there is a dress code, they want to do what the dress code says not to. So I feel like if there wasn't a dress code, it would be almost less of an issue.
That's a really good point.
All right.
And so we're out of time.
Yes.
We would like to thank everyone for listening and all of our guests for being here and our engineers, Henry and Trenton.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Nauki for helping us out.
If you want to learn more about Blunt or listen to past shows, you can go to bluntradio.org. It's our blog. Super great.
This has been Gabby Farrell.
And Izzy Tarasiano.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can understand.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
So let me be clear. And make no mistake.
You are listening to
Lund.
Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
Day four.